that your desire tonight to get closer to Him? If that's your desire, wow, that was kind of weak. Okay, I'm not going to try it again. I'm not those guys that like to push and push. I take your answer for what is worth it. I know you love the Lord. That's why you're here tonight. I mean, you could be any place tonight, but you chose to be in the house of the Lord. And that's commendable. But that's what my desire, that's your desire, is to get closer to Him this year, right? Because that's what we want to do. Get so close that we just disappear. But it's going to take some doing, right? Amen. Thank you, musicians. Let's go. Let's see how we can do this. I've been with this, fighting this, whatever it is. I don't care anyway. You know, if the devil tells you you're sick, he's lying to you. If your feelings telling you that, you know, whatever, he's lying to you. So who am I going to believe tonight? He's just lying to me, that's all. He's a liar to begin with. So don't let him tell you, you know, well, I don't feel good. I think I'm going to get sick, you know. It depends which way you want to choose. But he's a liar. If he's talking to you, he's moving his lip, he's lying. Believe me. Hebrews 5:12-14. For when the time you are to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, inept, you know, incapable, incompetent. He said, in the word of righteousness, blameless, a person that is blameless, spotless, devout. So in that kind of a word, you know, they're not doing too good. For they're acting like what? Like babes. But a strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, grown. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. And we pray that you bless each one of my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. Those that are not, bless them just as well, Father. Those that are sick, needy, whatever reason they are not here, Father, we ask you to meet their needs. You know what their needs are, and you know what they are calling for. And I know that you will be able to fill and fulfill all that for us. Now we ask you, Father, that to help us not to be babe, but to come up the ladder, to come up a little higher tonight, Father. And we ask you to give us tonight some sort of a confirmation or experience that you love us and you are with us, Father. That this is not man doing, but this is you doing, Father. I ask you these things. In the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You can be seated. So, January, I like the month of January, because January is a month that sets the tone, sets the mood for the rest of the year. January actually is the month that everybody has resolutions, and that will shape and tone the rest of the year, because now they have to accommodate all that stuff in there, see? Somebody wants to lose weight, you know, now I got to get a membership in the gym, you know. You have to spend some time, you have to do some effort, you have to sweat, you have to buy some nice things on the sneakers and the whole thing. I mean, it will actually change your life. Every time you start something like that, you start planning, and then you're looking at 6, 7, 8 months down the road that is going to shape what you do and how you do things. Everything has to revolve somehow around all these things. You still got to go to work, you still got to eat, you still got to... But now you have to make this happen. So, and that is something that I've been noticing, because people always plan after New Year's. So someone to get married, now that is an undertaking. I mean, I went through two of them. That year, I just completely forget it. That's just going here, going there, the food, this, the location, you know, the dress, go out and get some measurement for the tuxedos. I mean, that's throughout the whole year. But you know that job, see? You just had your wedding, so once you decide that you're going to do that this year, planning the stars and forget it. You know, every month you got something going, but you have to do it at least a year in advance to make it happen. And maybe you want to buy a house. You want to save some money, you know, for whatever. You know, people want to buy houses or they want to sell a house. But whatever you're going to do, you plan it. In January, it's the month to plan. You want to save some money, now you have to check your budget. If you don't have a budget, now you have to make a budget. And then check with the budget director every time you have to spend any money. Can I? No. So it kind of changed your life from there on. But if you just like me, I'm all in on not to make any resolutions. Because I know I'm going to break them all. You're going to get to a point that you maybe make it, and you may not make it. Regardless if you do, then you have to carry it next year, maybe. So, when I was looking at January, in the spiritual sense, I don't know if you have noticed what happened this month, because this month, whatever the preaching has come, it will set the tone for the rest of this year. I don't know if you never noticed that, but that is how it works. Right. You know, Brother Doug has bring a preaching in the first one, the body work, part 5, idols. Right. And this is the year that we had to just do away with anything that comes between us and God. Right. This is the year that sets the tone for this year. When he comes back and listen to his preaching, I see which way it's going to take you. Right. It's already been said. God has a way to set things just like in the natural. Right. He talks about idols, and he talks about, you know, God hates sins. That was some of his statements. But God loved the sinner and loved the church. Right. See? Because idols, anything that separates you from God, is a sin. Amen? And then, Brother Doug preached his own funeral after that. You know, that's death, burial, resurrection. Because some of us, we need to finally die to this year. You know, I still got to go. We still got to go. If I was done, I would be out of here. But there are certain things that we still got to die out. And this is a year to die out. Why? Because I'm looking at how the Spirit is moving in the congregation. So, death, you know, you can die. But if you're not in Christ, then you will not resurrect. I mean, you can be dead in a denomination or in your own form of godliness. But that don't bring life. That will not bring you up. So you have to be dead and you have to be in the right place in order to have resurrection. So this year we need to make sure who we are, what we are, that we are dead in Christ. Not that we are dead, but we are dead, but alive in Him. Right. Or will be no resurrection. So you have to examine your life. And then, brother, I came on a Wednesday and I preached about confession, fault, and sins. Why? Because I've been sickness to the body. It weakens the body. Yes. Right. It come to the point that brings stuff that we don't want, unwanted things. And then we are fighting with the things more than we're trying to move ahead. And we can. We have to get rid of that weight so we can move forward this year. And then, as Andy brought and I observed, you know, we observed Sunday, he talked about the Pharisee spirit. And he said, we all have Pharisee spirit, right? We need to die to ourselves. We need to. Because one of the things that is a hindrance to religion or to the church of God is traditions. Yeah, sure. He put it, tradition will just cannot cut it. Because God says, your tradition, you're making the word of God of what? A non-effect. We don't want traditions. We have to choose. We're going to follow God or we're going to follow our minds and ourselves and our ideas. Because that's what Brother Andy was talking about. And it's a great hindrance. You know, people like their own ideas. Sometimes they come from other places with their own ideas. You know, and they think this is the way, like he gave us a couple of examples. But you know, that's us thinking. Right. Well, I don't want your thinking, and you sure don't want mine. Right. I want his thinking. Right. And this is a year to start working on that too. Then, tonight I'm going to preach about maturity. Because that's God's purpose for you and me. God wants to reign in your life. All these things, we take care of all those things, and you're going to see God doing the things that you please, that I please Him. As we son the son, I want your desire to be my desire. Yeah. So if that is what you want this year, and that's what I want this year, then, you know, pay attention. Even back, go back to those sermons. Go back from the beginning of the year and see how the mood is being set for this year. Okay, we make it. Yes, by the grace of God, we are going to make it.
Yeah.
See, because this is not me doing it. This is not a man doing it. This is God doing it. So I don't know. You have my notes or not? So we have our work cut out for 2019. So the subject of my, I don't know. Can you go all the? That's all I gave you. Oh, okay, maturity. Maturity. And that's the process of growing. Growing from infancy, from a baby to what? To be a mature manhood. Manhood or womanhood, whatever you want to call it. And that's what Paul is talking in this thing. It's just not being babies anymore. It's all right. It's a time for being babe. But it's a time just to leave the milk and grow. So we see here in Hebrew that this is the process we're going to talk about and what it is and what it does. And then Paul is talking about milk. And milk is frequently mentioned in connection with other things, not only in this sense, but let's look at Exodus 3:8. Exodus 3:8 talks about milk, but it says abundance is what he's talking about. You know, this land, I'm going to give you this land, you know, full of milk and honey. That means everything that you have need, this land will satisfy. I mean, this is all you're looking for. And all we want is in Christ. Everything that we have need now from here to go to heaven is in Christ. And that's the promised land. So milk here and honey means abundance. And then we look at Peter, 1 Peter 2-3, and that is talking about milk. This is a symbol of what? Of the word. The new babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So milk is not all bad at all, you know. At least not in these verses. So you may want, so you may grow thereby. So, you know, I hate to be 40 years old and still drinking milk. Milk will do it, but to a certain point. Milk has its place, but it's not all. Some of you like milk, you still drink milk. I haven't drank milk since I was weaned because I have problem with lactose, you know, but nevertheless, I don't drink milk at all. Maybe one cup a year or two cups. I just don't do it because I get a big gastronomical, you know, jubilee. So stay away. Stay away from the milk. You know, I have a very acidy, you know, stomach, so it cuts the milk like, you know, like what is that stuff that you eat with cottage cheese? Then I have to bring it out. I cannot. You know, go through. But anyway, that's me. I don't know. Some of you don't have no problem with milk, and that's good. Sometimes you drink milk with your lunch or with your dinner, and that's fine. But that's not what we're talking about now. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, this is what Paul also addressing. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So see, this is what Paul is addressing here. He was addressing in Hebrew that, you know, it's all right to be a babe, but, you know, it's a time that you need to grow. Amen. And because they're not growing, well, we cannot feed you nothing else but what? Milk. Don't blame the ministry. Because if you're not pulling and you're not growing, you know, I just stick a bottle in your mouth. That's it. Let's go home. But it's not so this year. It's not so. It's not been that way. Not here. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, see? For you were not able to what? To take it, to bear it. So, you know, when we start getting into the meat of things, then people start complaining. You know, I can't take it. You know, this is too hard. Well, I know it's hard. This message is hard. But you're not supposed to bring it to pass in your life. It's God that's supposed to do that. All you have to do is just surrender yourself. God will do the rest. I know it's hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. He said, "For you are yet one carnal." Okay, that's kind of a thing about being a babe. I mean, I didn't say it. He said it's kind of we're being carnal, because if it's not growing, a person is not growing, and we're moving forward. So that mentality is always what, you know, what I want, what I need. Sure. I don't like this. I murmur. I complain. Why? Because this is too hard. What do you expect from me? I just drove to come to church half hour. Now what do you want me to do? To listen at you for another hour? Wow. Well, it's for your own benefit. It's not mine. Right. See, neither ye are able. For you are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy. So, being a babe brings some consequences. If we are not growing, then we are doing what? We're fighting. There's envy, there's strife, there's division. See? Are you not carnal and walks as men? So, this is what Paul is addressing here. Milk is okay. In fact, milk, Paul says, the sincere milk of the gospel. When we start growing, you know, a baby needs milk. You cannot have nothing else. No teeth, no anything, no digestive system enough to take, you know, hard stuff. So we need milk. See, and we need to have the sincere milk, you know, of the gospel. So, at that point, it's okay. But what happened to a baby? Every 2 hours, you know. Then you go to your wife. It's your turn. And she said, no, it was you. You don't sleep. Hey, she don't sleep. The baby don't sleep. Nobody sleep. And the same thing sometimes happen at church. That guy is every 2 hours, brother. You know, brother. Every 2 hours. I have my children. Every 2 hours, you got to get up and give him a bottle. And that don't hold too long. 2 hours. Can you imagine? People come to church and sometimes we stay here from 10 to 2. After 2 hours of this, boy, you're still a babe. You know? We don't have a time set. And I'm glad. You know, this is important. If this is important for me to spend the time that I spend to surrender myself to pray and to write and to do, it should be important to you. And whatever time it takes me, it doesn't matter, because you need it. So, yeah, baby is going to wake up every 2 hours. See, if he stays in milk all the time, that's what some people get discouraged, you know. And the point is that they don't want anything else. You know, you keep your hands off of me. I don't want anything about this, and don't tell me that. You ain't got no right. Well, want some milk? It's your bottle. Then take it and go. But I know you're going to be hungry in 2 hours. And they cannot last, you know, from a Sunday to a Wednesday to another Sunday. So they're running around looking at, let me go to YouTube. Oh, this guy's about the blue moons. And they're looking all over the place. Why? Because they have to snack. They get a snack attack, you know, like this at McDonald's. They're hungry, so they are looking at everybody's sermon. They're looking at YouTube and everybody. Why? Because they're hungry. So they need to snack something in between services. Or they go and talk to somebody else, you know, that, you know, a friend or that knows about the message, and let's, you know, have a conversation. But that's just because if they admit it, they're hungry. And if they come to church and they cannot get satisfied, then it's a problem. You know, and I don't think Brother Doug here is that kind of a preacher that you come and you leave here hungry. He's laid out a 7-course meal. If you don't eat, that's not his problem. He already laid it out. Now, you want to pick and choose? Well, that's fine. But when you leave, you're going to be hungry in a couple of hours. And then you're going to be looking for something. And maybe something that is going to get you in trouble anyway. Either you're satisfied or either you're not satisfied. See, so that's what happened with the milk, you know, and that's what Paul is addressing here. It is all right when you're a baby, you need the sincere milk of the gospel, but there has to be a point that you have to be weaned from that, and you need to start growing. Your muscles start growing, your teeth, yeah, you got a mouthful of teeth, now it's time to start using them, you know, start chewing on that. So in Hebrew 12, that's what he said, for the time you are to be teachers, so... You know, we should be teachers. You have need that no one teach you again. So, the principles of the oracles of God. You know, So that means that he teaches him once, and he come back, and he had to go over the same thing again. We should not be doing that. We should be going forward, not spinning in the same place all years. This is a move forward. So he said, you should be a teaching. So this is what Brother Branham said. Excuse me, my voice is... They have heard the gospel many years, and they profess to be Christians, you know. For a long time, they come to church. So Paul is saying, on this kind of account, you know, in this kind of a way, you're coming to church year after year, you know, and we're expecting that should be some growth, right? But he's saying, no, you know, you're getting worse. You ain't going anywhere, Paul is saying. This is what Brother Brown says in the approach to God. Just make things seem so petty. This little thing of the earth here. So like, so juvenile to even think of them, you know, talking about, you know, we act like babies, you know. He says, we are to be great giants in God today. I believe that we should be great giants in God today. As big as you want to be. It's enough yet for you to eat and get big and strong. See, no little bitty children. As long as Christ has been with us and blessing us, and that can say that to us, and doing the things that he has, and we've seen his great work, and still what? Babies. He said, Paul says, when we are to be able to give meat, able to give meat, you are still taking meat, not able to take meat, but still giving what? Milk. That's right. I still have to take the milk, sincere milk of the gospel, when you should be strong and eating meat. See? My, when we see what God does, and his great mighty workings, his word vindicated, we should be a big and what? Burly. That's right. You know why? We just don't eat enough. So when we come to church, we should eat as much as we want. In fact, the more you eat, the cheaper it gets. You know, that's what I tell people when I go to all those big piguerias, you know, like El Corral, I call them piguerias. A plate costs you about $20, one plate. But if you eat two plates, that's $10. If you eat another plate, that's, you know, the more you eat, the cheaper it gets. And there's no limit. We come to church, you should not stop the hand of God and tell him, this is enough, I can't get no more. You know, get as much as you can until your cup runs over and all over the place. Don't worry about it. This is soul food. It's not going to fill you up as you think so. You know, I used to go to school and I tell my teacher after a half hour of the lesson, I said, can I go home? And she said, well, my brains are full already. I cannot handle all this stuff. I'm done. You know, I can't handle but so much. But you don't have to do that here, because it's not a mind. It is all in your soul, you know. And we should be able to come and just take and absorb everything that God has for us for that day. We should not limit God. When God gets done, he's done. And you keep eating, and you keep eating. Because as the more you eat, the better it gets anyway. Amen. Brother Brown said, because you just don't eat enough. So when you come to church, you know, it's enough. And you don't have to be hungry when you leave. And you don't have to be looking at the other place and listening to somebody else's tapes and doing any other things. Because he's enough for you. In Hebrews 5 says again, you have need that no one teach you a second time. That's what Paul is saying. I have to teach you a second time. But it should not be no need for you to hear the same sermon twice, three times, four times. You know, like Brother Brown said, or I think it was Brother Doug that said, he said, this guy preached the same sermon, you know. A new pastor came in and he preached the same sermon every Sunday, every Wednesday. So they stopped him right away, the deacons and the trustees. He says, don't you have something else? Well, you've been preaching the same sermon. He said, when you do that, then I go to the next one. I can't give you no more unless you start growing and responding. See? Because Paul says you have to be teachers that teach others. Now, that is where all that eating will go. You cannot eat and just get fat. You know? and do nothing. You know, like a lot of people that eat and they don't do exercise. You need to do something. You need to go somewhere. You need to burn some of that calories. So burning the calories of the gospel is to go out there and tell somebody or go come to church, you know, do all that things that comes with the territory. See? Praying, reading the Bible takes time and takes energy. Amen. But see, that is what we get fed. So we can do all those things on you know, I think breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Because it will set your tone for the rest of the day. See? If you don't eat breakfast, you are not going to be strong to finish your work through the day. Kids are going to go to school and they won't be able to concentrate. They won't be able to think. If you don't eat breakfast, you know, you get grumpy. I do. You know, I always tell you guys, don't talk to me unless I have my breakfast, my coffee. Don't even. I used to go to work. Don't even look at me. Because I get moody. My sugar goes down. My BMI goes down. And I need to have something. And until I get something, I will be moody. My mood goes up and down. You know, my sugar's going down. So as soon as I have my coffee and my donut, whatever, that's not good breakfast. But anyway, that's not good breakfast. That's a bad example of bad breakfast, okay? Because what happens is if you don't eat the right breakfast, you eat junk the rest of the day. And then you get fat and you overeat. Because it set the tone. You don't eat breakfast, your body's metabolism is going to be wacko. And then your mood is going to go up and down. And when you get moody, you want to eat sometimes. See? It ruins your whole life. I mean, your day. So, breakfast is good because it set up your metabolism, your sugars. It set up your whole day for the rest of the day, what you're going to eat. You know, you can eat a good breakfast, you don't have to eat until probably lunch. If you eat a good breakfast, and if you eat a good lunch, you don't have to wait until dinner. But when you don't eat right, you eat every 2 hours. See? Because you're hungry. You're still hungry. Why? Because you started wrong to begin with. And you will not get right. Same thing with the gospel. If you don't start right this year, you are not going to end up right. And I already told you how we started, how the Spirit's leading. So if we get in that flow of the Spirit, we end up right. Unless we just want to just come to church and have babies and check a box, it's going to end up the same way. Checking the box at the end of the year, and you're still a little midget, haven't grown. I want to grow this year. Do you want to grow this year? Of course. I mean, this is why we are here. I want to grow to the stature of the perfect man. That is my goal. So I need to get with the program. So Paul said, you should be by now. All these years that we've been coming to church, you should be teaching others. Now here in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Yeah, I don't know what I wanted to do that one. But I put this one here. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's why we come to church, to behold His glory. See? And then we are changed. If we're not changed, we stay busy in the people, you know. So we come to church to confront God, you know, to meet God and the Word of God. And then the more we learn about God, the more we know about God, the more I know about myself. And then there will be changes. It says, the oracles of God, it says, the words seem, I'm in the wrong place, it says, image from the glory, see, change into that image. God is revealing to you every service, a little bit of himself, a little bit of himself. And then you, and the Spirit comes in you and it starts shaping you to that. That is our sample. Christ is our image. But he needs to start showing you little by little, you know. This is what we need to do. Let's chip that out. Let's take this in. Let's add these things. So when we come to church, it's because changes are happening. If not, we're not growing. The same thing from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then in James, we're going to read here, 23:27, it says, For any be hearers of the word and not doers, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So either we come to church, we behold his face, or we're looking at ourselves in our own glass, in our own glass mind that we have in our mind. See? For he beholds himself, see? He's not looking at the law. He's not looking at the word. We are preaching all week, and probably the that's not for me. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not that way. So what glass are you looking at?
Right.
Are you looking at the Word and letting the Spirit discern things for you? He said, beholding the natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself. And that's what the problem is. You know, their own form of godliness, their own doctrine, their own tradition. They're looking at their own ideas. See? He says, and goes his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. Well, he cannot change. He cannot grow. He comes in, he lives the same way. And then he forgot, what did I go to church for? I mean, and they ask him, well, did you know what he preached about tonight? I don't know. But it was good, though. He said, but whom look into the perfect law of liberty, that's a word, and continue therein, see, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So, if we come and we partake and let God do what he's supposed to do, that's what we're here. Surrender so God can do his work. Then we are blessed. We are not going to live here the way we came in. But if we don't, we live the same thing we came in. There's no progress. There's no growth. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious, okay, you think you know all the quotes, you think you know all the Bible, you think you can outquote me, that's fine. Anybody can outquote me. But he says, if you think that that's the kind of man you are, but you're not breathing your tongue, but you see his own heart, that man religious is in vain. So this is not a mental exercise when you come into the church. This is a life change thing. Really. I don't need to change. This guy's not going to change. See? That's not what I'm here for. There's something else that I want to be changing in my life. I want to get to the point where the Spirit have control of this guy. No? That's why we come here. See, because I don't want this guy to rise up and tell me what to do. I don't care about my feelings. I don't care about my thoughts. I don't care about my ideas. You know, because that is against. Satan will use your feelings, your senses, your eyes, everything.
Right.
See? You think you're doing your thing, but you're not doing your thing. You're letting, you know, Satan somehow. Peter says, get thee behind me, Satan. That wasn't his thought. He thought he was. Because he came unspoken. And that's how it works. We are living in a world that today that is very deceiving. And you think that's your thought. But what happened, it wasn't Paul. Peter, I'm sorry. And God said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he was not in control yet. The Spirit was not in control. So he could not discern. He's still a babe until he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's why we come to church, so we can grow. So we can grow and we can discern, Paul says, what's good and bad. No, this thought is not mine. If it's not yours, then it's Satan. You know, it's not God. Forget it. Don't even resist it. The Bible says, and he will flee. Any man among you that seem to me. Okay. See, so these kind of people, they are dull in the spirit, you know. They have no common sense. They can take instruction. You know, and Paul was saying here, for this time you have to be able to teach. That's one of the signs of people when they start maturing. Now, I don't say preach, teach one another, he says. And this is what Brother Branham says here in the Uncertain Sound. He said, now, to you people here this morning or here tonight, I want you to sit up and take notice. Now, he said, take notice. I'm going to take notice. He says, You are all enough now. You've been in this business, if we can call it that, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But you've been in this long enough. You have heard enough gospel preaching. It is not because of the lack of preaching. Till you ought to be able to get off that milk. You know, get off that milk. And to come to a real solid gospel diet. He says, come to a place where men and women are to stand. Paul said, when you are to be teachers, why? You have to be taught again and again and again. The same oracles of baptism and this. And why? No growing. Brother Branham is saying, get off that milk. Come to church with a mindset. You know, God, here I am. I need change. Change me. I want to do your desire. I want to get closer to you. I don't want this to be a game playing church. Come and check a box and go home again. You know, if I'm going to waste my time to come over here 3 times a week, might as well get something out of it. I mean, if I'm going to put this much energy and effort in this, I like to get something back at least. I mean, talking in the natural, right? I don't want to come and check a box and go home again and be the same person. I just stay home. Don't do that. It says, get off the milk. So, as Brother Branham is talking here, as we observe on Sunday, traditions is the great hindrance to the church. See, and here in Titus, 2 Titus 3:5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And that's what happens when people don't grow. If we don't grow, then we have our own form and we're denying the form. God is shaping us. We come to church to be shaped and to be formed. Amen. Not to come and, you know, well, I don't like that one. Or I don't like this. But we're supposed to conform to His will. And that's why we come to church. We want to grow. And so here in Colossians 2, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntarily humility and worship of angels. We don't worship angels. Angels means messengers. See? Intruding in those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. There are some people that will come to church and will not understand what's going on. I'm not the one decide who do and who don't. Then you have another person next to them, and he said, this was great. Wow, I got all this. And the other guy's looking at, you know, well, I didn't get anything. Well, we're listening at the same thing. What's the problem? What's the problem? It says over here, worshiping, including those things which had not seen, see? And Bailey puffs, and he's talking here mainly about the people that let not man beguile you. Because they're talking doctrines and thoughts of man. And they try to beguile you. Don't let it put you down because you believe that you believe in angels. You believe in a messenger and you believe, you know, in these things. You know, don't worry about it. You know, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment minister. That's where the nourishment comes, by the head. But some people, on verse 18, they don't want to be under authority. So if they don't want to be under authority, they entertain their own ideas and their own form of religion, and they're trying to deceive you. But you cannot be deceived, because the Bible said if it was possible to deceive you, but it's not. Why? Because you are grown, you have the Holy Spirit, you know, you can discern what's right and wrong. But if you cannot discern what's right and wrong, we just go out there, you know, oh, we know doctrines of men's. But he's saying, and not be holding the head. They don't want to be under a head. And Christ is our head. From which all the body, see, if you don't have a head, then what happens? You're going around like a chicken with a head cut off. You don't know if you're going or coming. You're going around and around. And I don't know if you're seeing chicken after you take the head off. But I have. I was born out in the country, so. And that's it. Don't stand behind it because it shoots from the back too. That's hard. Can you imagine? Anyway, stand the side. So, he says, minister and need together. So, we're supposed to grow. And we're supposed to grow. But if God is our head, see, he will nourish us. That's where all the nourishment comes. It's not from the eye. It's not from the ears. We are in that age. This is the mouth, the eye, the ears. But that's not what nourishes you. That's where all the senses, the touch, the hear, the seeing. And that is good. Those senses are good. But they're not to lead you. And those senses will not connect you to God. The only sense that will connect you to God is faith. And that's the sixth sense. Now, these senses are good. I'm not saying they're bad. As long as they are surrendered to that other sixth sense. But this is not what guides you and connects you. What connects you is the head. The brains is what take care of all the things. So he's the head from which all the bodies jointly and band having nourishment minister. So they want built because they can take the meat because they are not under the head. They don't want to be under that authority. And if we come to church, we have to be under that. Listen, my friend, if I got the mind of God, of Christ, and you got the mind of Christ, how can we be talking different things? How can we come to church and disagree? If we disagree, it's carnal. It's because we have the disagreement. But the Word of God don't disagree with the Word. I don't know how people will do that. They go and then they fuss about this quote and this quote and they throw this quote and they take a verse of the Bible here and they take another verse. God do not fight God and bride do not fight bride. If we got the same mind and we got the same spirit, which you at least what? You know, agree. Agree on the Word, I'm saying. We will have disagreement. God been married 40 years and I still don't agree 100% with my wife, but that's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. See? Because I like certain things and she likes certain things. Talking about food, but that's fine. That's just got nothing to do with church. Oh, but Brother Brian said, if you don't like this pie, but you like this pie. Oh, I see the difference. I don't like cherry pie. And you might love cherry pie. You know? I mean, I eat it. If you give it to me, it's nothing else. I don't hate the pie. I just prefer to have something else. But I will eat it. Oh, we make a mess together with the pie. We have some fellowship around that pie. But if we have the same mind and we have the same spirit, how can we disagree? If we disagree, that's not the mind of God. That is our mind. That is getting in the way. So we're supposed to have the same nourishment come from the same spirit, from the same mind, ministering to all of us together, jointly, and we're increasing, we're growing. A church will grow. You grow, the church grow. In one mind, in one accord, you know, all together believing the same thing. Not your idea, not my idea, but believing what God says. And if I have the mind of God, I can discern what is His and what is not His. See? 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for you are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy and strife and division. Paul is repeating the same thing he said in Hebrew. He's repeating it again. This church of Corinthians, yeah, the babes, and you know what babies do? You know what the kids do in the jar when they're playing out there? They're fighting. I mean, kids do that. I mean, you don't even have to. But my father is bigger than your father. My father can beat your father and blah, blah, blah. But that's kids. You know what? 5 minutes later, they're there hugging and playing. And leave them alone. They, as long as they don't hurt themselves, you know, send them out there. Okay, fix your stuff out. When you got done, let me know. You know, come back in. They will fix it. Hebrew, let's see. Paul is expressing the sense here that the senses are not exercised to discern both good and evil. See? So in Hebrew 5:14, he said, but a strong meat belongs to them that are full of age. Now, he throw another word, full of age. Ageful, full of age. Even those who by reason use have their senses exercised by discerning both good and evil. Now, Brother Brown says, in super sense, God gave those senses, but they are given to you as a gift. He said, and it depends on how you, what you yield these senses to, will be the way that your life will be controlled. Either God is going to control you, or either your feelings are going to control you. And your feeling, because your sense of what you see, what you perceive, what you hear, and you're going to let that control you, or you're going to let the Word of God control you. He says, but whatever you yield to, that what will control you. The way you yield those 5 senses, you are what you see. What you hear, what you taste, smell, or feel. The same thing, you are what you eat. So you are what you see and feel and hear. He says, whatever those senses are yielding to, they will what? Dominate you. I don't want my life to this. I don't want this guy to you know, make my life, you know, and tell me what to do and what not to do. That's over. That at one point it was that way because I was yielding to that. I had no choice. I was slave of that. But I don't have to be a slave no more. Of that. See, I have grown. But that's what we are fighting, our feelings. If you're not fighting the pulpit, you're not fighting anybody and your wife or your brother. You're fighting your own feeling, the way you feel about it. Well, he didn't check my hand. I wonder what's his problem. But that's your thinking. That wasn't God. And if it's not God, can you say that said the Lord on that one? No. So I wonder who is talking to you. It's not that God. So it has to be the devil. It's lying to you. That sister, you know, I don't know what's wrong with her, but she didn't look at me. She just turned her face. Here you go again. And the more you think about it, the worse it gets. Then you start getting complex. It just don't stop there. If you don't deal with this thing right away, you get complex. See? Brother Brown is saying, you cannot trust your feelings. You cannot trust your own heart. The only thing you can trust is the word of God. Brother Brown says here, dominate. You say, now, I will not say that because that we receive the sixth sense, that the rest of the senses are not good no more. Yes, they are. Those five senses were given to you by God, and they are not to be used, and they are to be used. But when the five senses act contrary to the word of God, well, I feel like, and I feel, who cares about your feelings? Let's get, you know, to see what God says. Because that is the big thing. People don't grow because they are following their feelings. I'm not saying that we don't supposed to have feelings. We need to have feelings. But when it comes against the word of God, they're the wrong feelings. So we have to decide, you know, and we have people in church after years. And that's all it is. It's just all feelings. That's no wonder the Bible said we have to be dead. Completely dead. But when I contrary to the world, God, then they are lying to us. I mean, that's nice. That's way nice to put it. You don't even have to consider it. It's they're lying to you. We can observe now here that Paul is talking about two different things, two hearers of the gospel. One that is a babe and one that is full grown. See? And Titus says in 2, verse 2, 1 through 10, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, you should be able to teach by now, it says, sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober. See? Be sober is your, you know, is to be in your right mind, doing the right things. No, that's when people get drunk and then they say, well, we got to get them sober. You got to get them back to themselves. It says, grave. It says, the aged man be sober. It says, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Now, that's a grown man. See? We be mature. He said that aged woman now, likewise, that they be in a behavior as become holiness. See, I missed something there. I put not, and I don't know what happened. I don't think it says become holiness. Not. I think something is missing there. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. It's taking me too long. That they may teach the young women to be what? So, we should be at the point that your sister should be teaching the older sister to be teaching the younger sister how to be what? Sober. To love their husband and to love what? The children. Not preaching to them, to teach. Be to that point when you find someone that has a need and there's something wrong, you gotta fix it. Don't expect the pulpit to, well, I'm going to tell Brother Doug so he can preach over them. No. That is your responsibility. If you have come to be a grown woman, then you help the ones that come. It says, to be discreet, chaste, keep at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Yes. So see, your attitude, the way you treat your younger sister, if you do, it will speak a lot about the word of God and the church you're going to. So, and all things showing themselves in the pattern of good work and in doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, and sincerity. Now, I'm not going to explain none of these things. You can go home and read it. But this is what a grown man and a grown woman, sound speech, not talking nonsense, that cannot be condemned, that he that is in the company part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. See, you can mark the man. He's a devout man. You can mark him. That's a good brother. You know, the Bible says mark the not the good one, but mark the good ones as well. Because, you know, after a while, you know, if I have a need, I'm a young person and I have a need, I'm going to start looking. They look. And they see what you're saying, and then they're looking at how much you're doing. See, if they're intelligent. These kids are quiet, but they're listening. And they're listening, and they're looking at mom and dad too. See, and they're looking at church. And when you try to come and tell them what to do, and they say, well, yeah, but you know, I saw you doing this, and you know, they know. You cannot fool the kids. You might think so, but you can't. They observe everything. They don't say much, but they will observe all day long. Sound speech cannot be condemned. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. He said, not, what does that word mean? Whatever, per something. I should have looked at that one. But showing all good fidelity, that they may be adorned, the doctrine of God, observe you in all things. To be adorned. Yes. You be a walking Bible. What does that word mean, Sister Laura? What do you mean? You know? Ah, two of us. Anybody? Anybody want to take? What do you mean? What do you mean? Offering. Huh? Offering. What's that? I don't even know that one either. Stealing. Money?
Stealing.
Huh?
Stealing.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I learned something. You can show. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Hey, I'm still learning. He says, so by showing, he says, doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So everything that we do, let's do it in the name of Jesus. And if we cannot do it, then we are not reflecting, you know, manifesting that life. But we should come to the point that everything that we do, we show the world, we show one another that Christ lives in us, and we are growing. See? Now, milk belongs to babe, according to Paul. Solid food belongs to what? To full age. Now, in Matthew here, 7:13 says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. See? Because a baby continued in their doctrines. You know, they don't care about learning. They just still, you know, doctrines are good. And that's what the milk comes in. At the beginning, when I started, I had to learn doctrines. That's the milk. But once you drink milk for 2-3 years, you know, 5 years, when you get wind, now it's time to start using those things and start learning. But see, these people still, you know, needing milk. So he's saying, you know, if through your tradition, we have the liver and many such like things you do. He says belongs to infants. So that's what brother Andy was talking about. You know, that it is the traditions. We come with all kind of tradition. You know, he was talking about the communion. Somebody got mad because we took the bread and gave it to the kiddies after that. But somebody come from another church that's not what they do it. But how much, like he was explaining, how much is in the message of not really anything, just the basic. You know, every church who wants to do a little bit different variation, that's fine, but don't come to another church and try to impose. That is doctrinal things. And it's a good doctrine, but I mean, you don't rule with oracles of God, words and traditions. He says over here, so in Matthew says, so in Ephesians 4:12-13 says, for the perfecting of the saints, and this is what the ministry is all about. See, the fivefold ministry is to bring you up to edify of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith. That don't mean that we are going to agree in everything and we're going to do the same things and we like the same food and all that. It means that we are going to come to that unity of that mind or that word that is Christ. We're going to agree in the word. It will be no argument. See, because you got the same spirit of God. And when the spirit that is in me said what it had to say, then your spirit said amen to it. If I'm right and you're right and we are grown up, then it won't be no problem. It says, till we come to the unity and all the knowledge of the sons of God. And that's why we are here as the ministry, the fivefold ministry, to bring you to perfection. That is Christ. To bring you to maturity. And I think this year, that all this that I've been talking about, this is where we are heading to. It is time to leave the milk. It is time to grow. It is time to come to maturity. It is time to come to perfection. I don't know how much we got left. How long? Brother Brian's got more than 60-some years, and he was saying that the Lord was coming in his time. And look at Paul was saying, you know, there's no more time. We're running out of time. So it is time to jump in. Listen, the word is good. Just jump in. Jump in. When the starts turning in church, just jump. Don't resist it. God is trying to do something. So the fivefold ministry is placed. God placed it, you know, to bring you to maturity. So you won't be babes and you won't be hungry. So you won't be complaining and envies and strife. Because that's what happened in the church when they're not all grown. Now I understand some people come through that door, you know, maybe from another church, and we have to start all over again with those people. That's where you come in and I come in. You should be, you know, grown enough to teach people, you know, about those things. Not let them teach you, but teach them. This is the way of the Lord. See, he says, Brother Brown says, infallibility of God. He says, our Heavenly Father, many hands in here has went up tonight. God, when we're children, is straying away from God. Never been able to rise above just a little church joining somewhere. Yes, they love you. Yes, they come in the great army. They will always be a private army. If they keep the way they are now, see, if we continue growing, we're part of that great army of God, he says. But there is an army, but God was the reward. We want to be majors and generals. What do you want to be? What is your purpose to come to church? Just to be a baby? Do you must have some rank? You know, I was in the army for a long time, and I have my goal set. Every year I know where I want to go. I study how to get there, what study I need to do, what I need. I didn't join the army to stay in one stripe the rest of my life. I figure if I'm here, I'm going to make the best of it. See? And I set myself goals every year. I know what I was. I know what I wanted to be. And I knew what it took to get there. Once I got there, I set some more goals. I will never stop. And that's why we come to church. You know, we don't come to church to stay the same way all the time. We came to church because we want to be generals. I mean, he's not even talking about being a sergeant or being a captain. Generals, majors, see, brother Brown shoot for the stars, you know, just, you know, oh, it's fine, that's all you can be, oh, that's fine, listen, you can be all you can be, a general if you want to be. This is the land of opportunity. This, you want to be a president? You can be a president. I don't know if you're going to make it, but it's a possibility, you can try. See, they cannot deny you. But, yeah, it's a land of opportunity. You can be whatever you want to be until you can get number one higher than whatever, you know. It's always a roof to everything. And that roof, when we're talking about church, you know, Brother Brown said you cannot live no higher than your... If your pastor's living right, you cannot live no higher than that, because he's the one going in the holies of holies and bringing that manna that's been there for preserved. You know, he go to the stories and he meditates and he prays and he bring the oracles of God, the man of God. Every day we come, every Sunday, it's a new, it's a fresh. This is not old manna stale full of worm. If he's a man of God, he's bringing you, you know, in due season, the food that we need. So when we come over here, you know, we are not, you know, feasting on tortillas with worms on it, you know, because that's what manna was anyway, kind of a tortilla. Mexican got that corner a long time, tortillas. And they said, don't even pick no extra. Go out there and take what you need for that day. Listen, you don't need to. You don't need to worry about, you know, well, I wonder what I need to study. I need to do something because I want to learn more. Don't worry about it. God got it covered. You know, you just come to church, you're going to grow. With the right attitude, you're going to grow, because this is not mind food, it's soul food. The mind don't even know about it, what's going on. Right. See, but you're going to see changes in your life. You don't have to be a preacher. Not everybody can preach. You don't have to be approved. You know, come to church and I want to do more. I want to learn more on my own because I want to be like so and so. No. You know, your part is to come and give yourself and open your heart. Let God fill it. Bring your cup and He will fill you. Amen. Now, it's always good to pray. It's always good to listen to the message. And you learn from there. But if you want to grow, those things are good to do. But the pulpit, you know, the ministry is set up to bring you to that perfection, to that maturity. I didn't set it up. God set it up that way. So that's what I don't understand. Yet, how long is it going to take for people to understand the importance of church? And it's not that we want to have people. Church don't save. But you know what? If you don't grow, we don't go anywhere. We're missing a toe, we're missing a leg because it's not growing. Can you imagine your body growing to be like me, you know, and a little leg like here? Because they decided he didn't want it to grow. Or no fingers, you know, they decided not to grow. We want to grow together. But the Bible says, they come in and the great army, but oh God, what the reward? We want to be majors and generals. So if that's what you want today, tonight, you know, then you do whatever it takes. I mean, how can you want to become a major general and miss half of the, you know, instructions? Well, here you go again. Well, that is the simplest things to do. It's just to come to church. In fact, that is all you got to do. And that is the hardest thing to do, to drag your body into a church. Because your feelings and your tiredness and all that is going to fight you all the way. But that's Satan. He's lying to you. He wants to keep you away from growing. So you're going to find excuses. Yes. You want excuses, the devil will give you all the excuses. Why not to? But if this is the way he has set up to grow as an individual and as a church, then I'm just wondering what happened to people that don't. Well, God will take care of them. Here you go. That's your thought. That's not what the Bible says. God has a way, and should we honor His ways? It doesn't matter. Sometimes we make so many reasons and logics what it should be and what not should be. We need to throw our minds out. We should throw ourselves out and let God do what He wants to do. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that I'm better because I do. You know, like Brother Andy was saying about coming half hour early or late. That's not what I'm talking about. It's the attitude. You know, it's the attitude. Stand up. Stand to your feet or not on your heads, to your feet. So, we want to be, what do you want to be this year? Whatever you want to be this year starts this month. You cannot wait until 6 months. Oh, wait a minute, if you want to be something, you want to get somewhere, you want to, you know, achieve something, you have to start right here. Set all your goals. God already set up all the goals for this year. And this church is going to go the way the preachings have come in January. How I know that? I don't know. Just how the Lord leads me to know things. But everything has been set. The table has been set. The wedding, the supper is ready. What do you want to do? Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Father, for teaching us and helping us to understand what do we supposed to do. But not only that, but you take the Spirit and you help us to be that, Father. And tonight we are so grateful, Father, that it's not me, it is your Spirit in me that persuades me, and it's the Spirit that constrains me to come and to do the things that I ought to do, Father. And I pray that will be the feeling of everyone, Father, that hear me and they're not here, that they yield themselves to the Spirit and listen to the Spirit, Lord, to discern what's right, what's wrong, what's good for their life, Father, because we're not trying to judge and say, but this is good and this is bad. This is not a book of ethics and rules, Father, but It is the Holy Spirit leading our life, Father, so we can grow and become full, mature sons and daughters of God. That's what we want to be. It's been long now, and it's not going to be no longer now. Things are happening too fast, Father, and we've been in here for almost 30, 40 years. Father, we are coming to that point to be like you. And it's not going to happen unless we make an effort, Father. An effort to and decide in our minds, this is what I want. This is my desire. And whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to get. Oh, I know that Satan is going to be in your way and put obstacles. But God has to test every son and daughter that comes to see if you really believe what you have decided to do. But Lord, we know that with your help, we can make it. Because you are a strong tower. You are a helper, Father. And with you, all things are possible. I know we falter. I know we fail. I know we make bad choices. But nevertheless, my heart is in the right place. My heart is, I want you, Lord. And I want to be like you. In Jesus' name, Father, bless this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for the times that they come and the effort and energy they spend, Lord, coming and listening so patiently. Father, thank you. Add to their stature tonight, Father, a little bit more, Father. And each one that is here, Father. And let us grow together until we get out of this place. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. And pray for the pastor should be coming on Friday, I think. Friday. He'll be flying. So it's a day ahead. So he'll leave Friday and he'll be here on Friday. So he don't lose anything this time. So the only thing we lose is also all that traveling. It gets you tired. So God bless you. And I wish and I pray the best for you guys this year. Let us grow together into that body that the Lord is looking for. This is a year. This is the year we're going to leave all kind of stuff behind. And we're going to move forward to the goal. Amen. God bless you.